It's a new year, and this is Compassion Radio. Honey, we're halfway through the final segment here in the special series about remembering, forgetting, preparing for the future. We talked about godly heritage is how we ended up last program. I want to recap that last thought you had. You were kind of walking down your heritage of faith in your own family, how your granddad and your dad, unbeknownst to you and your own family, had ministered to so many because they had made it a habit. And because they were workers, they were doers in life. Your granddad was the head of the waterworks in the little town you grew up in. Your dad was a heating and air conditioning specialist and was on the road constantly doing service calls. It meant that they were with people all the time. And they were in circumstances, in situations that were God appointments. And they saw them as that, and they acted on that. They found people stranded. They rescued them. They bought gas. They helped people in tough circumstances. And then at their funerals, they came out of the woodwork, literally, and said, I want to give my testimony of how God ministered to me. So let's talk about the scripture again from Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Let's read that whole scripture again together and talk about what it would mean for us to live as if we expect God today to be acting that out in our lives.
For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I think for me, this scripture is so comforting that God knows the plans. There's been so many times in our life that we haven't really known what was going to be next.
No, we had no plans.
Right. And this is a great comfort to me that God says, I got this. I know the plans. But I also like that he goes on to say in verse 12, you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is also the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place I deported you from. And in the Voice translation, it says, I will bring you back to the land that is your rightful home. God's bringing us back to our rightful home. Again, I want to just go back to what we've been experiencing this past year, that everything has been in upheaval for so many. People have been displaced, and people have been locked down in certain places that they didn't want to stay. We've talked with refugees who have been displaced, and this whole promise of that God will bring us back to our rightful home. I don't know if that means a actual physical home, but I know that our rightful home is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit with us. Yeah. He is at home in us as his children. And reminding us of that and bringing us back to that place of home. We all love being at home, but that rightful place of being at home with the Father, having that peace of knowing that he's got this, that he's in control, he knows the future, for me is a great comfort.
We've got a piece of this.
Yeah.
It's a macrocosm and a microcosm. Every time we hear these big promises, of course, we do know that he restored the nation of Israel to the land.
Right.
But put them through all kinds of other temptations and watch them go through many more cycles of rebellion and sinfulness and restoration, all the way until Jesus himself shows up on the scene and makes all things new and begins a whole new era. We know those things on the big scale, but we're talking about the small scale too. Does the scripture mean something for me right now? The thing we started off this series discussing was that this promise, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, comes at the end of the story that gives it context. The context was, I told you this was coming and you did not yield to me. My discipline still had to be expressed. I was not going to relent until I did the right thing. So I banished you because you turned from me. I have to keep my word. But I'm also promising you something you do not deserve because I love you. I will bring you back. And he was so specific so that you could prove in history that I speak the truth. And he lived it out. And the nation of Israel and all of the other exiles lived it out as well. They saw it in their own lives.
Yeah.
And then they're brought back. So we look at that and say, that's a heritage of faithfulness from God himself, God to his children. And yet there's also a heritage of faithfulness of those who heed God's word and live it out in their generation, and it becomes a brand new promise in their lives. Mm-hmm. I've got family like that too, that throughout their generations were faithful to God's word, yes, followed it, lived it out, and incredible things happened in their lives, but also set in motion things with a trajectory that changed my life.
Right.
We found each other literally on the road doing things that are a direct result of the kind of faithfulness that our parents and grandparents had shown in their generations, mm-hmm, that steered us towards a place where you and I actually met. Mm-hmm. And during the time that we've been married, we talked about this two programs ago, we didn't expect all that was coming. We had no idea where we'd end up. No, we wouldn't have sat down 29 years ago and said, okay, we're going to be across the table from each other talking about how God's brought us through on a radio program during a pandemic.
Exactly.
You know, that, of course, was not going through our minds at that time. And yet, that's where we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. I do recall that all four of our children came to us after a series of real trials in our lives. Mm-hmm. Every single one of the kids was at the end of a chapter, which was so obvious to us after we had gone through it. Mm-hmm. There is no reason why God should have chosen for us to have the kids we had and the years that we had them, and so tightly linked them with trials in our lives that led up to when we had our kids. And yet we can see stories around every one of our four children that are like that. Mm-hmm. God knew, and he still knows. I don't know about you, friends, but I can't see any of my kids without seeing all of that when I see them. So what new chapter is God going to write in our lives in 2022? This is a tough question to ask because in some ways it may just stir more fear in, mm-hmm, our hearts, but at least it will be a challenged fear to not settle for a fear, but to look at it and say, is this really where God wants me to live? Is this what God really wants me to do? To obsess, to worry, to not try, to draw back, to not exercise faith. Or as the Chinese like to say, crisis, the word is a combination of danger and opportunity. Mm-hmm. So when you see the word crisis, it always means both. That's a marvelous insight into the complexity of the human heart. I do believe that's true, that every crisis that people go through individually and as a community are opportunities and dangers mixed.
I love that Jesus is very direct with us too. In John 14, he's very direct in saying, look, I know that there's going to be stuff that happens.
Yeah.
I know that you're going to go through trials. I'm telling you that you're going to go through trials. I'm not just saying it's possible that stuff might happen. It's going to happen. There's going to be trials. And you can't avoid that.
If you persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Get used to the idea it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then he says, here's this promise, though. When I go away, the Father is going to send a comforter. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to indwell you and to be there with you. That's going to be my presence with you. And I'm going to leave you a peace, not the kind of peace that you see when armies cease fighting or when married couples come to a detente and, you know, live.
Co-inhabit.
Coexist. Yeah, coexist. Yeah. But a real indwelling peace that's going to be something that the world cannot explain. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul talks about that in the book of Philippians. We cannot explain the peace that passes understanding. And so I believe that regardless of your experience, of my experience during this past year, God is telling us, I have peace for you. I have a future and a hope, plans to prosper, not to harm you, and to bring you.
Friends, that really is our prayer for you this New Year's. May you truly know God's peace in your own life, and that that peace may spill out of you to others in very practical ways. Thanks for welcoming us into your life each day and for making this program possible. Today and in the days to come, when the yearning for peace will continue to grow, as far away as a Middle East refugee camp and as close as your own kitchen table. I'll have a few more thoughts on this at the end of today's program. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now, back to our discussion.
God is telling us, I have peace for you. I have a future and a hope, plans to prosper, not to harm you, and to bring you peace. You're going to find me if you seek me with all your heart.
If. That's an important conditional statement, mm-hmm. too. Is we don't find him, really understand what he's up to, mm-hmm. if we just do a drive-by prayer.
Right.
If we just kind of pop a popcorn out the window and say, okay, God, answer some quick. What are you up to? And God says, oh, I got the answer for you. It's going to take a little while. Turn the car around. Come back here. Let's sit down and have lunch together. You know, some things just take time to work their way through. I'd like to close this last part of this program to talk about the kind of plans God has for you. Because when it says, I have plans for you to prosper you, that sounds good in context of God has plans.
Sure.
There's a lot of inferences we can make from that, too. One is, he's going to stick around to explain them. He doesn't just say, I have plans for you, and not take the time to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to work on this together. In other words, we're traveling this road together. He has not abandoned us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will take that as our living reality and act like it, we start to see that he's up to something that's good while we're in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not waiting for us to get through the garbage to the other side of it and then talk about it. The second thing is that he's not the only one that's got plans for us.
Right.
You know, we could have plans that are in direct competition with God's plans, and we're not about to surrender our plans to hear what he might be up to or what he might think is better. It's hard sometimes to give up our ideas. But you know what? There could be others that have good intentions that have a lot of plans for us too. Parents or spouses or children, people we know or friends that just see so much in us that they try to keep pushing on us because they believe in us so much.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's not exactly what God has. That can confuse us and get in the way of that. There can also be enemies that have plans for us. The devil himself.
Exactly.
And family and friends we think are friends that actually want to destroy us because they're jealous, they're envious, they're whatever. Their motivations are not pure. They got plans too.
Mm-hmm.
So God is not the only one out there that has a plan for you, friends. The question is, are we willing to find out what God's plans are and experience them for being right and true and preferable to all the other plans,
mm-hmm.
including ours?
Well, there's a good way to measure that. It says in the scripture that his plans are for peace and welfare. One translation says to prosper us.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that means financial prosperity or whatever in that sense, but it's for our welfare, for peace. Mm-hmm. And if there's a plan that is being implemented in your life that does not bring about the peace of God, that does not bring about a peace that there's no way that you can explain, that's just misunderstood peace.
But even right now, for example, in the middle of COVID, the kind of plans that others might have for you to get you upset,
mm-hmm.
to get you off axis, to get you angry, to get you rebellious and defiant, whether it's against political authorities or against people in your own church or your own family. If those are the kind of plans for you that are being exercised and you're buying into them, I simply say that that is not a plan of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that God does have a plan in the face of the world's inner turmoil and outer warfare.
Mm.
In the middle of all of that, God does have a plan for you right now. And it is not that.
Mm-hmm. Plans for peace, for welfare, not for evil or harm, to bring you a future and hope.
So that's a good litmus test right there. Are the things I'm thinking on, the things I'm planning, the things I'm investing my energies in, are they bringing peace or are they bringing dissension and hatred and rebellion and animosity, whatever it is? If they're producing the anti-spiritual fruit in yourself or in others, they are not of God.
So when we look to 2022, make sure that our plans bring peace.
And if we don't know where to start with that, it might be a good time to stop by and ask God at his stable, can we talk about this? Because I really want to know what you're up to. I want to know what you want from me in the year to come. I want to know how I can join you in what you're already doing, because he has not given up on planet Earth. He did not check out when this pandemic showed up. He's very much right here, right now, and he's waiting at the door knocking, saying, he's waiting for us to say, come on in, so that we can sit down and talk and sup together. That is the promise, I think, of Revelation 3:20. It's not just a verse for those who have never known the Savior. I really believe this is an invitation for those who have known him to open up again.
He says in Revelation 3:20, pay attention. I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any of you hear my voice and open the door, then I will come in to visit with you and to share a meal at your table, and you will be with me.
And that very end there, we discover, oh, this is what it's like. This is what it means. This is what I was called to be with Jesus. So if there's anything I would like to encourage you, friends, about 2022, is to consider this. Jesus himself is standing at the door right now and knocking, saying, would you let me in? Because if I come in, there will be peace. And if you're not experiencing peace today, I simply say, invite him back in. Let him put things in order. And then ask him, what do you want to do next? Because God has a next for you. He has a promise. He has a plan for your future. Hopeful, joyful, peaceful.
And the whole idea of sitting down to a meal with Jesus, to me, is such a great hospitable feeling. He's not going through the drive-thru here. We're not grabbing a bag with a meal in it and eating it in the car. We are sitting down to the table. And we're having a meal together.
And there's an implied promise right there.
And we're spending time together with him.
He's promising us that we have a meal to eat.
Yes.
And if that is something we haven't even thought about, if he says, I'm going to come in and have dinner with you, that's a promise that there's going to be dinner on the table. And if it's a spiritual metaphor, that's fine. But I also believe there are some things that are very physical about this. If God says, if you'll let me in, I will take care of you. That's a big promise. You won't have to worry about entertaining me. Let me supply you, and let us sit down and have that meal together, and you will be with me. You won't see me somewhere else, outside, unavailable. I'll be right there, eye to eye. And that's the kind of new year I want to see for us. I want to see for our Compassion Radio family, and I want to see Compassion Radio be for others around the world.
Right.
And of course, it starts with us deciding we're going to stay a family. We're going to stay engaged in the theater. We're going to be out there doing God's work, and we're gearing up for 2022. Like I wasn't even expecting us to after all this. God's made it very clear that we need to stay in the arena doing his work and not giving up. Friends, I invite you to join with us today in that. Have a very happy new year. And may God, as he taps on that door, get your attention and you get brave enough to let him back in and have that conversation.
Took on a servant's nature. Made in human likeness, found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, was obedient, even to death on the cross.
Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth. To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord. At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth. To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Christ has been exalted by God to the highest place, and given a name as exalted above every other name. Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth.
To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord.
At Jesus' name every knee shall bow, in heaven and in all the earth. To the Father's glory we shall cry, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Well, friends, here we stand at the brink of a new year. Does it look like a cliff to you? A new mountain to climb, maybe. An invitation to something fresh and new. Maybe a little bit of each, perhaps. I just want to pause right here, right now, for a deep breath and encourage you to pray one simple prayer right now. It goes like this. Lord, what do you want me to let go of as this old year passes away? Those are 15 very simple words with amazing power, if you'll really pray them and really expect God to answer. There will be plenty of activity in the weeks to come around the question of what next. But for right now,
I'm praying for you that the burdens of this past year can rest on the altar,
and that we'll all give God permission to deal with them as only He can. Will you join me in this? Lord, what do you want me to let go of as the old year passes away? Okay, now another deep breath. Let it out now. Next, you'll hear me remind you that we are grateful for your generosity and ask you to keep standing with us so that
Compassion Radio can continue in 2022 and beyond.
But in this moment, right now, I want to simply thank God that you and I are both here, still able to seek God's face, thank Him for how He's provided, and humbly ask Him to let us continue partnering with Him in His work of redeeming this world and drawing all men to Himself. For all these things, Lord, we thank you. Amen.
Prophets foretold him from days of old. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Lamb of God and Lord of glory, heavenly King and helpless child. Angels bring the wondrous story, heaven and earth are reconciled. Emmanuel, sent among His people Israel, promised Messiah, come from on high. Emmanuel, Son of Man by birth, Emmanuel, Son of God on earth with men to dwell. Prophets foretold Him from days of old.
Remember, friends, Compassion Radio is always a coalition of the willing. Are you willing to help get out God's good news stories of the kingdom really living the gospel in the 21st century? Oh, I hope so. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf.
Let us know you're standing with us
and that you're chasing the word together with us. Reach us during business hours or leave a callback number at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or give online at CompassionRadio.com.
You can even text the word Compassion to 53445 to give right through your phone. I'm Bram Floria. Thanks so much for joining us on Compassion Radio, and have a happy and productive new year in the Lord.